Welcome to Bad Play Style, a book club style video game podcast where we talk about a new game that we all played every episode. Hopefully you listeners at home have played the same game we did.
So you can avoid the horror of being mugged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah, we are going to spoil any game we set out to play, and probably other games too, so be careful and check the fucking show notes so you don't get blindsided by the fact that, I don't know, Paul Rudd is Darth Revan.
My name is Matt.
Matt's alone on the podcast this week.
Yep. Okay.
I'm Keenan.
Hey, I'm on.
Jesus. All right. We're just going to get straight into it. We're going to start out with the shame or the rage.
The deep
feelings about video games. Oh, and you have something you need to get off your chest, which I have no idea what it is. So I'm just going to...
I have a thing that made me ludicrously angry in video games the other night.
What?
So, here's what I'm going to describe. I'm going to paint a word picture of the landscape that led to this.
Okay.
It is my suspicion, and I haven't tried since the ranking got reset. It is my suspicion that in PUBG, I have ranked up enough that I don't get to play against people that are fun anymore. That everyone's skill when I play PUB is close enough or exceeds mine that we can't fail forward with the dumb shenanigans that we do, the like Tremor Brother nonsense.
Yeah, you get up to. The game definitely stopped being fun about a week and a half ago.
I've had two straight. I haven't played it all this week. The 2 weeks before this, I have had two straight weeks of garbage ass games. Mm-hmm. I've won one chicken dinner like a 10-day period, and like lots of miserable games of getting shot and accomplishing nothing.
So they...
Hold on. I'm not done with my rage. Right.
Not bad. You paused a really long time.
So,
I'm sorry.
Painting a landscape, Keenan.
Let him paint a word picture.
Okay.
The two dungeon masters in the room need to paint a word picture, not a dungeon master.
Okay. So, like that. I was playing...
Weird dungeon master.
I was playing pub with two of my best murder boys. I was playing with Brian and his older brother, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else was in our match, and I think they were just straight up dead. I can't remember if either of you were that person. Anyway, we're like last 10 people alive. I haven't had that chicken dinner in a week. My spirit is starving for this chicken. And we're like on a little ridge, and we're peeking at like one of the other two squads that are alive. And like we're sizing things up, and we're making a plan about what we're going to do. And I back down from the ridge a little bit so I don't have to be prone. My game crashes as my character is crouched walking backwards. And as I'm rushing to boot my game back up, my character fucking duck walks backwards out of the circle and dies to the zone before I can get back in the game.
I was not in that game. I would
remember I have that. Never been so furious at PUBG.
That is rough.
Like, it wasn't that I was denied a chicken dinner. It's that, like I'm at this, like, spiritual low of playing pub. And this, like, it's held in front of me and then, like, thrown into a mud puddle.
Like, it would be one thing if those dudes just shot you.
Yeah.
But that's not what happened.
I probably would have gotten somewhat angry if that happened because I was just so on tilt that week.
Sure, but I'm just saying,
pub.
Like...
That's like the expected outcome, though, when you get disconnected
obviously,
in that situation.
Obviously, there's a certain amount of anger when you lose a game of PUBG. Yeah. What I'm saying, if you had just legit, like, fucked up mm-hmm. and gotten shot by those guys,
yeah,
right? Like, you were still in command, you would have gotten angry, sure, right? But that would have been, like, the game being, quote, fair, I know? Like,
yeah.
But in this case, the game just, like, you held out your hand with the fucking, was it the ball? Please, sir, can I have some air? Right. Just, like... Get that shit out of here!
Yeah. And, like and I feel like we had, like, a good solve on the other squads, too. Like, I was very optimistic about our odds. Like,
mm-hmm. Right, you're just thinking, like, I'll pop back in and we'll win.
I'm fuzzing the details. I think there's, like, two enemy squads, and it looked like they were about to face off, which is, like, great for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a position where we would have been forced into close quarters engagements, like, less than 100 meters with, like, medium amounts of cover, and I have a fucking balls-tricked-out vector and I've been crushing with vectors in end circles. Like it's
optimal.
Like I wasn't just optimistic about us winning. I was excited at the prospect of just the fighting I was about to get to do, because I know that like I've had this vector all game. We haven't seen anyone all game.
Right. It's one of those games too. Like, you're totally blue balls by all of it.
Yeah, and it's got its grips, it's got a silencer, it's got a 2x scope on it, it's got a tactical stock. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a little murder hummingbird.
Yep.
And I didn't get to use it a single time that
game. Burn.
And that's my rage. It
actually sounds horrible. Like, I'm vicariously leaving this through you, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate the feeling.
Yeah, that's my rage.
Okay. I have a rage. All right. Spoiler tag.
Yeah.
It's the beginning, you already heard it, but I'm just mentioning it so that you don't forget.
Infest weather.
Yeah.
All that.
So, Owen, what are you playing?
What have I been playing lately?
Yeah.
Well, since our last recordings, I have beaten the main story of Heat Signature 2.5 times.
Jeez.
I put like 50 hours into that game, and then I finally broke on it and couldn't digest it and extract nutrients from it anymore.
That's fair. That's how that game works.
Yeah. I played a disgusting amount of Heat Signature. I really...
Yo, it's a good-ass game.
It's a good game, and I get, like, a really weird thrill from adding dumb item names to the pool. Like, I've added just a ton of stupid shit.
So I'm gonna go in there months from now and just be like, what the fuck is
this? Oh, yeah.
This?
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, all my friends, like, have stopped playing it. Like, you guys stopped playing it. Like, Brian, I think, is done with it. Like,
yo, but fuck Brian's items.
Yeah, fuck Brian's items. Fuck Brian's whole shit in Heat Signature. He wouldn't finish the game. But, like if one of my friends years down the road buys that game, mm-hmm. they're going to get the dumb space hammer. They're going to get the...
Man, I got to say, Owen, I have fond memories of the dumb space hammer.
Oh, I
have a fondness for that item.
I get legit excited when I find one. It's like, yeah, dumb space hammer. Now I can get rid of this normal, lame concussion hammer.
No, see, but me, usually in my games...
But it is just a regular...
In my games of Heat Signature, I usually don't have access to concussion hammers.
Oh, sure.
So for me, not only is it the dumb space hammer, and that's cool,
but it's the dumb space hammer.
Also has this whole, like, tactical panoply element that it opens up.
Oh,
for
yeah,
me,
it's
you
great.
Know? Where it's like, oh no, I'm going to sideswipe into that, or sidewinder into that room. I'm just going to hit everybody with a dumb space hammer.
Yeah. I remember the time that I learned how the dumb space hammer works. Mm-hmm. I walk into a room, and I'm like, I wonder if this kills guys in armor. And I fucking slam this dude in armor out a window, and then we both get vented. I'm
and
like,
see, this
oh,
is my,
shit!
This is my favorite thing about Heat Signature. You brought up an incredibly minute mechanical element, which was like, the concussion hammer, and both of us immediately had anecdotes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great story generator. And then I've been playing a bunch of Kerbal Space Program.
Hey.
I got back,
you're back on your bullshit.
Yeah, it's...
You're back on all your bullshit.
It's still one of my favorite fucking games in the world. It lets me... Like, it's a... The reason I love this game, I'm a big aerospace and rocket nerd. Like, I love that shit, and it lets me...
Rocket nerd!
It lets me vicariously live out the future I wish we lived in. Like, it's NASA without its pared-down ambitions.
We live in the worst retro future.
I don't know, Paul Verhoeven would disagree.
Yeah, okay.
Like, we could live in RoboCop future, which, like, I know we're not, like, far from, but RoboCop future is worse than our future.
Well, I mean, no one wants their dick shot off. Anyway,
yeah.
We should put that
I bet there's someone
we should
who
put
does.
That in the show notes. Anyway,
Here, no one wants their dick shot off. I got it.
What was it you said to me? Paul Verhoeven receives an award for not being pessimistic enough. He told me the other night, we were talking about the like fucking DRM on your own genes.
Oh, yeah.
That like hacks gene sequencers.
Yeah.
If you read their genes with it, it hacks the gene sequencer.
Yeah, genetic DRM.
Yeah. Fucking future's wild, man. Did you know
is that everything you've played?
I
don't want to steamroll.
Yeah, there's one more game. I haven't gotten very far into it. I think it's called Cardboard Computer. People who make Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay.
They are getting ready to release the last episode. They have made a little vignette game.
Okay.
It's like one scene in Kentucky Route Zero with a completely different cast of characters.
Okay.
It's free. You can just download, like, there's just a zip file you can download from their site.
Oh, cool. I love it.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's a legitimate, like, first of all, just that, sensibility about, like, a game prelude, I think is really cool.
Yeah. Just here, have a zip. It's on GitHub.
The people who make that game are fucking, they're fucking geniuses. Like, those, even that little thing is more masterfully crafted than, like, 99% of games I play.
Okay.
And I only booted it up for, like, a couple. Kentucky Route Zero.
Oh no, the thing.
Oh, it's something in Spanish. I'll give it to you.
Okay,
it's,
no worries.
It is. Hold on. Un pueblo nada.
Town of nothing.
First one.
It's called Un pueblo nada.
Un pueblo nada.
Town of nothing.
But like when I booted it up, I wasn't like in like a late night hazy Kentucky Route Zero kind of mood. Mm-hmm. I was just like, all right, I'm playing this, but not tonight.
Right.
And so I like closed it immediately. I was just like, because you got to be in a place with that game.
Okay.
That's the games I've been playing, really. Cool. I got a Switch. I've been playing Breath of the Wild. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
You told me I need to play that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know I need to play it.
It's Far Cry 2, too.
It is. Now that you've said that, like, yes. Yeah.
It's the sequel to Far Cry 2.
Man, do I need to play a permadeath then?
No.
I'm just fucking kidding.
No,
I don't need to do that.
Punishment.
No. I'm just saying, like all the like
the game is not built for that.
Yeah. Like all the no wrong way to play, like Far Cry 2 modes, you know, European Extreme or whatever.
There's actually it's interesting you bring that up. I believe Awesome Walker, Waypoint's Awesome Walker, did a morning, like a weekly stream or a morning stream for a while, where he did a variation of doing a permadeath play on Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Where I think he got 3 lives or something like that.
Oh, total?
Yeah.
It's probably doable, having played it enough.
And I think...
That's rough going.
And I think, like, there was, like, some sort of... It was a little bit of a complicated mutator on the game. Like, it was, like... And there was, like, a new rule that got applied every week to what he could do. Or
kind of those luck-style bullshit.
Yeah. It was cool, though.
Cool.
All
right. Do you want to go?
I'll go. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have things to talk about, so
I don't really have too much to say. I played a bunch of Battle Block Theater with multiple friends of mine. Okay. I hadn't really gotten a chance to get super deep into that game. That's the Behemoth game where you're doing like co-op platforming shit. I really, really like it. Behemoth makes really good games. I think that
their art's
good. I think that every successive game that Behemoth has made has been miles better than the game before,
and that's
not taking anything away from the game before. No, the Hex one's Pit People.
Okay,
and so I really like
beat 'em up.
It's a cooperative platforming game.
Oh, okay.
Which I had already said.
Okay, I mix them all up.
It's funny. I a few months ago, I went back to play Castle Crashers again.
Yeah,
like I loved that game. That game doesn't age that well.
No, it doesn't.
Sadly,
that's what I'm saying. Like Castle Crashers is a good game, but like now with the benefit of hindsight, I wouldn't necessarily want to go play Castle Crashers.
Yeah, when I was looking for co-op stuff to play with my girlfriend. Like she'd heard of it. I installed it because I own it, and like we played it for like 10 minutes, and I was just like, "Yeah, I'm kind of done."
So the thing with Castle Crashers, I will say, is that Castle Crashers I think retains a little bit too much of the same attitude that spoils Super Meat Boy for me, which is the whole like Newgrounds get good, pro gamer horseshit, where like the game is difficult in a way that seems only to exist to stroke its own ego or to stroke the ego of the player for like excluding other people. The whole like comic shop dungeon defense
difficulty as aesthetic
kind
of thing. It's so funny with like that difficulty as aesthetic thing is like when I think about it in a vacuum, like I love the idea of difficulty as aesthetic in a game that like part of what makes my game the way it is that it's hard and that like the like I'm deliberately not putting in an easy mode. Like this is what it is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then every time I am ever actually confronted with games that use difficulty as aesthetic,
it's horrible.
Yeah, like I was just like I hate it. I want it to die and go away. Like this is like why I can't stand Hotline Miami. Like
we all want to be able to feel like we can understand a game and adapt to it.
Yeah.
And some games that are aesthetically hard do not allow that. Yeah.
So, and then I finally dove into The Witcher 3 in a way that seems to be sticking this time. So
it sounds like Baldur's Gate 2 and Pillars of Eternity are kind of...
They're sticking by the wayside. They're, I kind of fell off.
They've joined the Legions of the Damned.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to them eventually, I think. At least in the case of Pillars. I'm not so sure about Baldur's Gate 2.
Okay.
Just because I do kind of want to see what happens.
Sure, you
know,
in
Baldur's Gate 2, I think I know what happens. So, like, I'm kind of okay. Yeah, the mystery of Pillars is actually, like, reaching out and grabbing me.
Sure.
As opposed to Baldur's Gate.
Which Pillars also has, like, a really fresh world.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. I don't actually... The world of Pillars isn't so much grabbing me, but the moment-to-moment, like, it feels lived in. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a very thoughtfully made world.
Yeah. Whereas, like, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. And then... Dirt Kickers, and then I'm playing Dwarf Fortress with you.
Yeah, well, that's for...
We can talk about that later, though, because that's for the podcast. And then, yeah, get excited, Ryan. and then, shit. What was it? Oh, yeah, so you were talking about, PUBG earlier. I have sort of fallen off of PUBG. It has been completely unfun recently. I haven't wanted to play it at all. And I hope that changes when we dive back in and, like, have zero MMR.
Yeah, I haven't played since the stat reset.
But ever since since that patch that dropped, where we played it before the patch and everything was cool, and then we played after the patch and you got teleported outside into a grenade.
Yeah,
when we dropped in,
but that match was real fucky.
We had one night where Matt and I were just doing duos, and both of us got parachute fucked in different games.
No, that's a different night. I'm talking about a different night.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
We were falling off is because the game just got weird and punishing.
You were like inside with a dinner plate running around chasing that dude with no gun, and then his friend threw a grenade outside, and then you teleported outside.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was chasing him and shooting him and got teleported outside. It took me a second to figure out. I went in, and in the time that my game had locked up, a grenade had been thrown that I never heard.
Yeah.
And it just went off and killed me.
Yeah, like that game got fucky in a way that wasn't funny or charming.
Yeah.
It was just frustrating.
And then we had like a night where Matt and I were just doing duos, and in successive matches we got parachute fucked. We're like,
oh yeah,
where I lost 95% of my hit points, had to charge into a building where people had gotten there first.
Yeah,
so it's just like the dude literally shot me with a 9mm.
Yeah,
once,
no, I even had problems like that on stream. Like,
yeah,
and that game was really fucked up.
Yeah.
For a while.
And that happened to Matt that same night.
We dropped into the crater on Miramar, and I hit the lip of a building. And then it threw me off like weird rubber bandy way it does when you're falling with a parachute. Rubber banded me to the ground, but I was clipped into the building in front of me when I hit the ground, so I just was down immediately.
Wow. Like, that's the way it resolved all of this.
Yeah, it was like, no, you're dead. And it was like, Owen came over and picked me up, and then we had a terrible game.
Yeah, we died.
Yeah, no, that patch was bad for everyone, as far as I could tell, which is part of why I haven't been playing it.
Yeah.
They put out a new patch, like, a day or two ago.
Yeah.
Bree and I played two games today, which was what I was going to say earlier during the rage moment. We ended up on Miramar on both, and we looted, like, two buildings each and had good gear.
Mm-hmm.
I showed you guys those weird screenshots of the building not working.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, you had some fucking terrain geometry.
It seems like there's a more good gear in Miramar, and that should help.
Sure.
And I noticed more buildings on the map, like, in the open spaces.
So what were you saying? You were saying the other day that people were straight up, like, going into the game files and deleting Miramar so that it wouldn't load in.
I was reading the news about it, and they said that, like, we're going to make these changes to Miramar because apparently people were just going in and removing game files for the map so they'd never get it.
Which Owen immediately responded with, I should do that.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know.
But that's not, like, an indictment of Owen or anything. That's just, like... That's a really good snapshot of, like, where we're at with fucking Miramar.
Totally.
You know?
So, like, I'm hoping that stuff helps, but also, like, I think that map needs more than more guns.
Yeah. It definitely.
And so
it
I don't know what that looks like.
It needs more vehicles.
It either needs
especially
more vehicles
around the edge
or more buildings. Like, I don't know what the answer is.
Dropping into drop sites on the edge of the map is a fucking
I think
yes.
vehicles would do a lot.
Yeah,
because there's because one of the big problems on Miramar is the enormous sight lanes with no grass. So you
more vehicles would help probably a lot. I felt like there were we dropped Meat Market both games, and there were buggies in places I wasn't used to. So maybe maybe that was added too.
Anyway, I'm done. Point of interest:
Meat Market means Los Leones.
Yeah,
we have dubbed the marketplace in it the Meat Market, even though I believe many different wares are sold there.
Yeah, it's across from the really big church. It's
check out really check out church. Owen's YouTube for a video of us dubbing at Meat Market.
Yeah.
Okay, so my turn.
Meat Market!
Meat Market!
Together!
We should put that in the show notes today.
Yeah, that should just be linked. Games I played. I had Steam open because I've been doing some shit. So, I played a bunch of Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which is the second reboot one.
Did you get them back together?
Did Mankind and Kane defeat Triple H at the WrestleMania?
That is not where I expected this line of questioning to go.
You said Mankind Divided, and you're wearing wrestle pants right now. Horrifying wrestle pants, by the way. I want a public. Okay, so we're gonna go to the shame.
I don't think that ever happened.
We're gonna go
Matt.
Back to the, we're gonna go back to the shame real quick. I'm not listening to you anymore.
Keenan's wearing white jeans with condom ribs.
I'm wearing white skinny jeans. Yes,
with condom ribs on them. And so, since a major theme of this podcast is shame, I want to say, Keenan, get different pants.
Take a picture of his thigh and put it in the show
there
notes.
There are different pants coming.
Take a picture of his thigh and put them in the show notes.
Anyways. So, I played a bunch of Deus Ex, and it's okay.
The new Deus Ex is okay?
It's okay.
It Deus Ex.
That game makes combat unnecessarily hard in a way I didn't like. Like, if you want to start shooting. Mm-hmm. That game doesn't let you do that very easily. Like, its reticles and stuff are bad.
Okay.
So, like, as a cover shooter, it's not fun. Which means that I'm sneaking a lot, which is, like, what I do anyway. Whoa. So that's fine. Yeah, weird, right? Sneaking in Deus Ex. And it's weird because that game came out, like, what, 3 years after? 3 or 4 years after the first one?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a game that would have come out 2 years after that. Like, it's so similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In so many ways. Like, all the mechanics are still there. They just sort of tacked on some weird, cool powers. Like, it's super weird that, like, the only thing
it's
that...
It's like a sequel from the early 2000s.
Yeah, no, like, it's definitely, like, super derivative sequel.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that, like, I can tell they spent a ton of time on were the environments. And they're cool. But, like, when I'm talking to people and my hair and my jacket clip together all the time on something that I'm going to see the camera angle on all game, that bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's super weird because, like, you can tell they, like, cared about a lot of this game, but then, like, I don't know if...
But didn't care about it.
I don't know if Publisher Rush hit in a game that took 4 years, or, like, what's happening with that? So, yeah, I played a bunch of that. Played a lot of Door Kickers. Seeing you play The Witcher has made me play more of The Witcher, because I love that game, but I never make time for it.
I know
good, good relationships are about effort and time.
Yeah, Keenan. And I give that game neither.
I mean, like, hey, Keenan, don't beat yourself up. Like, you got a busy schedule these days.
Yeah, I do. Like, I got so many things to do. And then
Keenan's
I've got
unemployed.
Yeah, I am. And then I've got two weird games we should probably talk about that I've been playing. The first one, which Steam has told me I have played 166 hours in the last 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Because it's the game that is always on.
Is it that fucking idling thing I've seen you running?
The Idle Champions of Forgotten Realms.
You have been playing that.
The only reason I started playing that game is because my friend is writing it.
Okay,
it's actually kind of just a good clicker.
A minor editorial note here. When Keenan says playing that game, he means leaving it open.
I leave it open and then I go back and click some buttons.
Since last, like, fucking...
Yeah, that's
like a week.
That 166 hours is literally in the last, like, week. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's,
as clickers go,
it's alright. if you need a clicker...
I feel like I need to... like, sneak onto your computer when you're not home, install Cheat Engine, and just, like, set all values to N, and, like, digit string of nines.
Do the thing that I did with a fucking Fallout Shelter.
Yeah. Just, like, give him everything. Like, you're done with the game! Look at that!
Yeah. Look, you did it.
Okay, and then the other game I wanted to mention that I started playing, which I don't... So I installed this game a super long time ago to give it a shot and, like, forgot about it. And then I was cleaning stuff out of my hard drive.
Spit it out, boy. What is it?
And I was like, why is World of Warships still installed?
Oh, is that how that happened?
So I put the shortcut on my desktop being like, eh, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. I like World of Warships a lot.
It seems cool.
It's real dumb. Like, it's dumb in the same way World of Tanks is dumb. Like, it's this super in-depth arcade military sim all at the same time, and I don't know how to deal with it. Yeah, like, you shoot shit at boats, and sometimes it bounces off, and it's real weird, and you can't predict shit, and it's real goofy. And then every once in a while you hit them just right, and they fucking explode, and it's rad, and it's just big and dumb and hilarious.
Okay. Can you command the Tirpitz?
Yes, it is a ship you can get. Pretty much any ship you can think of, along with some weird ones that shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
There's, like, 80s-era destroyers by the 10th tier, like... The same way that World of Tanks gets kind of weird at the top tiers.
Sure.
Because there's, like, 70s and 80s era tanks in that game. Even though most of it's World War II shit.
Whatever.
So it just gets real crazy.
Whatever, man.
Did you ever hear about, like, how the I believe it's the sister ship of the Tirpitz, the Bismarck, its wreck was found?
No.
So, like, it's, like, big metal battleship, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's got big old turrets on it.
Yeah, real big.
Those turrets aren't actually, like, welded in any way. They're on, like, these turntables or whatever, and so they have some sort of turning mechanism. But the weight of the turrets is what's holding them in.
Really?
And so when it sank, it, like, turned as it sank, yeah. And they slid out.
Yeah, because it's top-heavy from these fucking heavy-ass turrets.
Yeah, and so, like, the turrets are, like, not with the rest of the ship. I watched the
thing. And like it's somewhere in the ocean where it's super deep. So, like, these things fell straight down, and rest of the boat didn't.
I'm trying to remember where it is. They're in, like, the bottom of the ocean, like, near, like, Norway or something. Something crazy.
Well, the Bismarck sank after it escaped out of a fjord when they found it. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
I watched a documentary about it. It was weird.
So I've been playing two kinds of ships in that game, because there's four different types. There's cruisers, which are just, like, ships with a lot of guns that shoot a lot. Mm-hmm. And then there's destroyers.
Assaults.
There's destroyers that are really fast and small and shoot torpedoes.
I was going to ask, what Team Fortress 2 class is this?
And then there's battleships.
Snipers.
No, heavies. These battleships, which are exactly what battleships are.
Is it Demoman or Heavy?
It's Demoman.
Yeah, it's probably Demoman.
Yeah, okay, fair. And then there's aircraft carriers, which I don't touch.
Sure.
So I play destroyers and battleships, so I'm either a giant ship that fucks shit up from really far away.
Is aircraft carrier pyro?
No, aircraft carrier plays an RTS.
It plays,
like,
Starcraft.
Natural selection.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I either play a battleship, and I, like, just sit back and wait for people to fly ships and blow them up from super far away, because that's really dumb and fun.
Sure.
Or I get in the shit and I play the scrambly little ship with torpedoes and go ruin everyone's
day. The torpedoes look really fun.
Yeah, they're really stupid in the best way.
Can you be a submarine? Because
if I could be a submarine, I would all the time.
I was about to say, if King could be a submarine, he'd be a submarine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Everyone would.
Yeah, then you'd require depth charges in that game, and that would be a really bad mechanic the way that game's set up.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't work with the way the game is.
Wouldn't be good. But yeah, so that's a thing I've been doing. Like, I played it a little bit, and then I was like, this is kind of cool. And then I found some tutorials, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. And then I just, like, middle of the day, I'm bored.
It,
I'm
it
like,
makes sense why people throw away their lives on these games.
I'm going to play some ships.
All right, so I guess it's finally...
Yeah. Finally time to talk about Door Kickers.
100 hours into the podcast, we will now talk about Door Kickers.
Let's talk about Door Kickers. I dislike Door Kickers immensely. Door Kickers.
Yeah.
I dislike this game.
I'm going to call this game Dork for short.
Okay. From now on. That sounds good.
I like this game less than I did originally.
Me too.
Shut up. Worse than Keenan saying he was playing that game. All right. Keenan, what is Door Kickers?
Door Kickers is a top-down, two-dimensional...
Tell our beautiful internet family what Door Kickers is.
Tactical strategy game.
Yeah.
This is the labels I'm going to give it.
Is this real-time or turn-based?
Yes. It has a space bar that pauses.
It's KOTOR-based.
You can play this game a lot of different ways. You can, like, real-time control people.
Well, look, Keenan's playing the Idol Champions of Forgotten
Hell
Realms.
Yeah, right now. So you can play that game like real time if you're crazy and have reflexes like a fucking cat.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend it because you need to do things like set up breach charges on doors and
if you're like a professional Korean StarCraft player, you could probably play it real time.
I would love to see someone like really good.
Cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
That'd be kind of it'd be like something like it very much in the same feel of watching a speed run.
Yeah, yeah, like to watch someone like micromanage six people.
Yeah,
in that sort of way would be really cool, but. You can play that game where you set up paths and waypoints that trigger certain things if you want. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play it the way you can play old Rainbow Six, where you literally just put the controller down and hit a button every now and then and give people go codes and they go clear the rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can totally play it that way if you want to. Or you can play it sort of the way I play it, where you have, like, an opening where you guys get up to the building, and then you kick this door in, and you throw a flashbang in, and, like, play it sort of room to room.
Yeah, yeah, get that little fiber optic camera and stick it under the door and peek around.
Yep. There's a lot of weird gameplay options in, like, the gadgets menus.
Yeah.
That I've, like, started fucking with this time around. Because I played this game in 2014 when it came
out. Yeah, yeah, I got it when it came out, too. And I loved it then. I played the shit out of it.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it's definitely 3 years old. Yeah. Right? Like, the things about it that are 3 years old are kind of annoying at this point.
Yeah.
I
think its click menus are, like, powerfully counterintuitive.
Yes.
Like when it comes to, like, interacting with doors and
opening menus. They get stuck a lot.
Yeah.
In weird states that are annoying.
They get stuck more than they ever did before. Sure. So it must have been patched somewhere.
Yeah, it's something bad happened along
the way. And then my favorite thing in the entire world, I'm being 100% serious, is when you're dragging the dude, like, his, like, where I want you to go line, mm-hmm. and it gets stuck on a piece of furniture that's like looks exactly the same as everything else
in
the map background, and then you keep dragging your cursor and you like when you're like oh you go back and then it like snaps to you along the line that you like didn't want and then you have to redo the entire thing.
Yeah the path drawing in it has like a fiddliness to it that is
it's
not
rougher
fun.
That's rougher than it used to be
and then
too,
my favorite thing is when the guys just stand there and don't shoot back at the guys shooting them in the fucking face.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how many times I have, like...
The your guy AI is worse than the enemy AI in a way that's frustrating.
We're trashing it right now. Like, it's a cool game with, like, a cool premise, and, like, the execution is a little rough in patches.
There's a lot of restarts in this game, but that doesn't mean that I don't like it, right? Like, I enjoy the challenge of the game, but there are times where, like, a dude misses a really long-range shot he needs to make or he's dead, and I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm restarting the mission because you're an idiot. Like...
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of RNG that doesn't swing your way.
There's a lot of, there's enough RNG in this game where I felt any time something happened, like my dudes got shot, or like, even when I was completing the missions with 3 stars, it still didn't feel like I was getting enough positive feedback as far as the effectiveness of each individual action to feel like I had done the correct thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that game is totally like...
And but then coupled with that, which was the thing that really, really turned me off, was the fact that the game explains absolutely nothing to you.
Yeah.
But then still expects you to be utterly adaptive, reactive, and experimental, mm-hmm. but doesn't give you enough feedback to make that an enjoyable process.
Okay. That's, yeah. Like...
So that's why I completely bounced off this game.
Okay. That's understandable, because I definitely, like, I did that learning curve 3 years ago, so I just walked back in and was like, oh yeah, that's the thing I do.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not... I totally get where you're coming from. Like,
yeah.
It took me a while to get
this game. It's not a welcoming game.
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't onboard you very well.
But when it works, it feels great.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you get it all...
Yeah.
When you get it all right and you clear a whole building...
Yeah, you feel like a fucking genius.
You clear a 3-story or a 2-story, 5-bedroom house full of bad guys with machine guns and no one gets hurt except them...
Or even when something as simple as like when you have a guy kick a door and walk into a room sideways because you're pretty sure that's where the people are in the room and they are, and your dude just fucking like hoses them and it's like, that's right, you're in that fucking corner.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Like, I saw it with a spy camera, motherfucker.
No, like if you didn't even like know, but it's just like I know you little crooks. Like,
There's when you play that game enough, there's reason to its...
I never had that happen. What I had happen was a guy standing in front of a bathroom door, posted up on it so that he doesn't get shot by the guy on the other end of the door that I know is there, open the bathroom door, and then get shot in the face 4 times in a row before he did anything. Mm. And that, it just, he's dead.
So, my response to that problem was everyone carries MP5s. One guy stands next to the door, ready to pull the knob. Another dude standing in the door frame, like 4 feet from the door, with his gun up. So what ends up happening is dude goes, surprise, bitch, and kicks the door open, and then his friend shoots you in the face.
See, but there was 3 other guys standing nearby, but I didn't have them positioned well enough to be able to see the dude in the bathroom.
Yeah, no, it's so pain in the ass.
Like, I'm like, you're going to shoot this guy, right? And he's like, yeah, yeah, I got this. And then he just takes 4 rounds to the fucking face and dies.
That plan only works when you know no one's about to enter the room you're in. So you have to do, like, some really crazy, like, paranoid, like, you look that way, you come over here and you look that way, yeah, just to clear a tiny bathroom. Like, the fact that I have 4 guys occupied, there's gotta be a better way to do this, like...
Also, I took really long on some of the missions, so after a while I started hearing, like, Christian radio in the background, which, I don't know if you guys know this, irritates the shit out of me.
Yeah, that game does not have enough, like, first of all, like, regardless of what they are, that game does not have enough audio loops for its background.
Yeah, there's like 3.
Yeah, and on top of that, one of them is an audio loop of George Bush talking on television because, like, the news is on.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool, like, the human equivalent of the alarm noise.
Yeah.
And one of them is, like, weird cultist...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Diatribe.
Yeah.
Like, Branch Davidian diatribe.
Yeah, like, got, AM radio.
I got guns, I got dynamite, I got cutlasses. Ah!
Yeah,
like that kind of shit.
Yeah, like, and you hear this over and over and over again.
Especially if you're fucking up on a mission.
Also, it doesn't pause when you're paused. It just keeps going.
No, the audio.
The audio, the radio and the audio.
Which made
me feel like my guys were quoting the Bible at me because I was taking it too long, which made me even angrier.
Yeah, okay. I don't like that I don't get the option of having a sniper in missions, I realized.
Yeah.
Because there are missions where there's a mission in the second campaign
where
you have to take one guy down a street full of bad guys, and it is not easy to do.
I know the one you're talking about.
I don't remember how I did that mission before,
because
I got stuck on it for a long time this time. Like, there are new guns in the game that I don't understand. Like, I bought the most accurate, highest power automatic gun I could find, and I still kept losing that mission.
Ugh.
Everyone was fully upgraded. I did everything I could to make this mission as easy as possible, and it was still just like, hey, RNG, bro. And I'm like,
Yeah, like, I feel like, this is something I haven't enjoyed about the game, but I think I understand why it's tuned the way it is, and I respect it, even if I don't like playing in it. Like, the RNG is tuned in such a way that you can't depend on your soldiers to win in an even ground fight.
Yeah.
You always have to be so cautious and create an overwhelming advantage for yourself.
Which is what SWAT teams do.
Sure. Right? Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I see what it's doing there and why it's doing it, and I respect that they're doing
it.
But the actual practice of playing it is like...
Right. The design perspective is completely understandable. The fact of the matter is, your dude is a professional gunfighter and he just got owned by a dude in a tank top.
Yeah, like... I've had a dude with a riot shield...
More range time, dumbass.
Right, like, what the fuck, dude?
I've had a dude with a riot shield and a pistol go toe-to-toe with a dude with a pistol. No, like, the math on that says that the bulletproof man with the pistol kills the man with no bulletproof refrigerator door in front of him. But it doesn't play out that way, goddammit.
It doesn't play out that way.
Yeah, like, I've watched my fucking tactical shield guy get, like, wasted by a dirtbag with a pistol.
Yeah, and so that's where it's frustrating as hell, is that, like, you go into a situation and be like, no, it's fine. And it's not fine.
Yeah.
It's not fine at all. That dude just killed 3 of your guys, and you don't understand fucking why. They have the John Cena of terrorists in that room fighting you.
Dun, 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 dun.
He shows up, and he's like, I win! And you're like, I don't know what to do with this.
Bikes!
Bikes!
Anyway, what was good about this game?
It feels fucking amazing when shit works.
Right, when you pull it off, you feel like a goddamn genius, and that's a thing more games should be.
Like I remember, I did one where it's like a bank, and the bank has like a front door that's opaque, and then it has like a wall of glass windows.
Oh yeah,
right?
that mission's dope.
Yeah, and I set up my guys and like drew out actions for them to do. Whoops, I dropped the thing. I drew out their actions so that at the my dudes are going to kick in the door. There's going to be two dudes at the door. They're going to kick in the door. They got G36s, and they're going to have a line of sight on the whole bank.
Fucking party with them.
And then 1 second after the door opens, two dudes are going to walk horizontally in front of those windows and just start shooting into the bank.
And so everyone's looking at the doors, and these guys are like, window time!
And what happened was, I didn't plan this, but I felt amazing that I made it happen. Is dude comes out of the back copy room. It's like the fucking Harvey and Trust Bank in Payday 2. Like, that's like, if you play Payday 2, it's like almost that layout. It's kind of legit.
All right.
Dude comes out of the back room, looks up at the guys at the door, and has this analysis paralysis as the second guy show up, and you can see him wave his pistol back and forth, not knowing what to do, and just gets gunned down. Like, it was like,
you could see the gears turning.
You could see the panic in the eyes of the two-dimensional top-down character whose eyes you can't see.
Yeah. So, one thing that I like that game does later on is drug bust missions.
Yeah.
Because they force you to change how you play.
Sure.
Right? I play this game really slow, room to room. Drug bust missions, you either need to get a bunch of stealth ninja SWAT team dudes and go in super careful and super quiet so they don't know you're there, so they don't start flushing drugs.
Sure.
Or you gotta be the hardest, fastest motherfuckers in the fucking town. And either way is super fun. So it's like, you, shotguns, breach mode, let's go. And they just, like, fucking cave doors in and roll in and just, like, fucking splatter people all over the walls. And then, like, they don't shoot the dudes who pack drugs away. Yeah. That's not a thing. So you gotta charge in that room, hope there's no one to shoot in there, and then arrest those dudes. So, like, the whole game mechanic just gets, like, upside down by drug bust missions in a way that's both super frustrating because you have to change, but then when you learn how you change for it, it's hilarious because you're just,
it's like a little
super
bit
super smash and grab.
It's a little bit, like, cathartic. It's like in the first XCOM. Not the very original XCOM, but the one that came out, Enemy Unknown.
The Tear Drinkers first XCOM.
Yeah, when they added the expansion to XCOM that let you have the Mech Trooper, I feel like it's cathartic in the same way, because the Mech Trooper is like, M.O. is like, he can't use cover. He is cover.
So
go put him in the middle of the room and have him make a lot of noise. It's like, it's the anti-XCOM.
Yo,
XCOM
did y'all want ED-209 to fight aliens?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing,
so
right?
You say that in XCOM, like, it's the opposite of what you normally want to do. And I know you never actually played this expansion, but the Psycho class in Borderlands 2 is the same thing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So you've talked about that.
It takes every single thing you've ever learned about how to live in Borderlands and turns it on its head and says, no, just do the opposite. It'll be great.
Yeah, yeah, so the way that game throws
No, you want to be dead. That's good.
The way Door Kickers throws mission types at you, like you get this weird mixture of, like, hey, there's 8 angry dudes in this house. Go make them stop. Yeah. Right? That's the regular thing. And then every once in a while, it's like, hey, there's 6 angry dudes with 2 hostages. Go carefully knock them out.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
sure.
Go get them when they're not expecting it, and don't let them kill Susie. Like, and then every once in a while, they're like, drug bust. And you're like, okay. And then you just get to decide, like, do we want to be sneaky ninja cops, or do we want to fucking flashbang, shotgun, everything.
Do you want to be, this is the police?
Yeah. Yeah.
boom.
And then you can buy, so you know how everyone has the spy camera?
Yeah.
So in the slot where the spy camera is, you can buy a sledgehammer or bolt cutters, or for double the price, you can buy the breaching kit, which is both.
Nice.
So it's never, hey, that door's locked. It's, wham, that door's open. And it's rad. So yeah, I really like breaching kit in that game.
Yeah.
But there's so few missions where it's actually appropriate. So drug bust missions are like, oh, we get to bring out the sledgehammer.
It's like when they put the assault rifles in a Hitman game.
Yep.
It's like, why are these even in here?
It's not,
like,
this is,
we don't need this shit.
This is not how this is supposed to go.
Keenan, do you have anything to say about the people who made this game?
I hope they make another game soon, because their second game is a 2D platform shooter wherein you and your friends can play Door Kickers like it is a 2D side-scrolling shooter. And that's really weird and scary, and I don't want to play it.
That's weird.
But I want to see what else they do. Because they make...
I want Door Kickers 2.
I think they're actually working on it.
Yeah, I've heard that. News.
So I want to see what Door Kickers 2 is.
Yeah, I want them to, like, fix the things that I don't like about Door Kickers. Listen, you can hear my opinions here on how to fix your game.
Well, and, like...
You can email me.
This takes me back to, like, all the times we played SWAT 3, right? Sure. Like, that's what this game
SWAT
is.
SWAT 4.
Yeah, either one. They're both good.
I've never played a SWAT game.
Okay.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah. We gotta do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll play the first one, okay? We'll go from there.
Don't do that.
If I like the first one, I'll play the rest.
Oh my god, don't do that.
There's a really good article about that game.
Yeah?
About how it's real fucked. Because they asked the guy who was commissioner during the LA riots to make a police game.
I thought that was different. I thought that was Police Story.
So the first SWAT game is from the Police Story franchise. Like,
oh, is it?
Yeah, so Police Story originally was like a Hugo's House of Horrors type game, like adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, do that.
Like FMV type thing.
And then SWAT 1 is an FMV game in like this dude's ideal police department and political situation.
Sure.
Which is a terrifying nightmare.
Sure. I guess we haven't talked about the politics of this game at all, which it seems to be like...
The politics of this game are, you're a SWAT team, and George W. Bush is president.
And it's like, but it's like completely sanitized of anything, because it's like, everyone you encounter in that game is either a fucking terrorist, like just period.
Just
like,
outright.
Terrorist, like, full stop.
Very clearly. It's like, dude has bombs strapped to his chest type shit.
Yeah, it's like okay, sure, we can kill these people with, like, zero sympathy. or they are like, cartel-level drug pushers who are, like, packing AKs, which, like, also, like, these people probably need to be disposed
what
of.
What are you doing in America? This is the question your SWAT team member asked seconds
like,
before.
Even without the drugs, I don't like this, like, group of dudes with AKs.
Right, right. Or it's, like, dudes in business suits who look like white-collar criminals with guns to people's heads that you're like, nah, dude.
And it, like, never says who these people are.
No, like, there's no... it's literally the SWAT team experience where, hey, these dudes are mad in a bank and you need to deal with them, and we don't care why or how.
Dude, like, it would be a sick, like, DLC or Halloween, like, update level. Is, like, a level where it's, like, a fucking psycho-ass dude in his house, and he has, like, Home Alone booby traps everywhere. So even though it's just one dude, you gotta be careful as fuck.
No,
just make it the dude from Saw.
That needs to happen in Door Kickers 2, and also the Killdozer needs to happen in Door Kickers 2.
For sure.
So you scramble
missile. Instead of the Killdozer, do the dude from Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dude with the 2 M4s.
Yep. And the flamethrower guy from 4.
Yeah, I was
why not?
I was like, when you started talking, I was like, do you mean 4? Because that's the only Lethal Weapon movie I've seen all the way through, I think.
Okay.
Not a good movie.
Is 2 the one with the toilet?
None of the Lethal Weapons are good movies.
No,
I don't know why you're operating under the assumption that
I don't
they
know.
Are.
I just haven't seen the others, so I don't feel confident saying one way or the other.
When you get parried on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia...
What?
When you get parodied?
When your movie franchise gets parodied on Is Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know it's not, like, a super quality thing.
Is Danny DeVito in one of them?
Maybe.
That'd be right.
That'd be hilarious.
It's the right era.
It's believable.
Trash man! Keenan, it's time for you and your pants to talk about wrestling.
Yeah, my pants!
Yeah.
I didn't know my pants could talk.
You and your fucking condom.
So tell us about your wrestling persona, the human condom.
No, that's for later. Okay, so normally it's dumbest thing in wrestling, but wrestling's weird right now. The Royal Rumble just happened, which is the best dumb spectacle wrestling ever does, because 30 people show up, 29 of them get thrown over the rope, and the last dude who wins, he gets a wrestling match at WrestleMania and points the sign. It's real dumb.
Nice.
So they did the first women's Royal Rumble ever, which was cool. Really good.
So they just did 2 Royal Rumbles.
So yeah, the last like hour and a half of that show was just 2 Royal Rumbles. Like they did a bunch of championship matches in the first half. The second, I was like, "Yo, you ready to watch a lot of people get thrown around?" And we were like,
it's like,
"Hell yeah!"
No, because so here's what, like the biggest event in wrestling, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then the Royal Rumble's over, and we have a Royal Rumble winner, and they're going to WrestleMania, and like, all right,
now
let's do it again.
So like, it was weird as hell,
man.
So, the Royal Rumble winner is almost always, like, super telegraphed, right? Like, fucking Roman Reigns has won the Royal Rumble way too many times because they keep thinking Roman Reigns is the new John Cena and they can build that, and that's just not happening. So this year, some real weird shit happened because both the fan favorites favorites won, and we're all really confused.
Sure.
Also, they're both from Japan.
Oh, cool.
So I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon is dying.
But he can't be, because now...
I can't poop. I'm going to die.
He can't be dying, because now people are going to wrestle footballs.
Yes, yeah. The new XFL is going to be awful.
Is he doing that again?
It's happening.
Why the fuck is he doing
that again? And he literally said in the, like, announcement that basically there won't be uppity brown people. Like, that is literally part of the league charter.
And that if you have, like, any kind of police record, you can't be in the league.
So, okay. The good news is wrestling. The bad news is XFL. And that's the dumb wrestling news. Yeah. Because his response to people not liking the politics of the real world clashing with their football is to make less good football that has none of those problems,
yeah.
quote unquote. But the problem with the XFL, besides Donald Trump, was that you were hiring fourth-rate people to play in a football league, and that's not fun to watch.
So,
and also didn't like the XFL, like player base or whatever, like destroy itself. Because like XFL was like the fucking harder and savager football.
So, no, it wasn't like an injury problem like real football has now.
Okay.
It was literally that Donald Trump was one of the owners and a huge shithead.
Okay.
The same way the other football league in the 80s that Donald Trump was a part of, like, don't let that guy near your football.
Near
your
anything.
Yeah. All right. So I guess so. This feels. This is the first I'm hearing about this announcement. So I'm gonna talk about it.
Okay.
This feels like.
Oh, and
like,
there's no dumb nicknames on their jerseys.
This
time.
Feels like a third world dictator who gets cooed and goes to another country and
yep.
goes, "This my country now."
Yep.
Right. Like it feels like this is him. Like
super dumb,
like scrambling, like, oh no, I get to control this thing because I just got cooed out of my wrestling.
So he's 74.
Okay.
Vince McMahon is
74.
Yeah.
He is a mess of a human being at this point.
Isn't he also totally ripped though? Like for his age, like
he's in very good shape for his age, but also like has structural problems
sure.
at this point.
Like, I bet Vince McMahon could beat the shit out of my dad.
Oh, I'm sure.
Who's almost like, the exact same age.
I'm sure Vince McMahon could beat the shit out of a lot of people, assuming he could stand
I'm sure
up.
Vince McMahon could beat the shit out of a lot of people's dads.
So, but, like, here's the thing, right? Like, there's these rumors that he's gonna sell the company instead of let his kids have it. Which says a lot.
Fucking cold.
Yeah, yeah, like... I'm selling it! Fuck you!
Can't poop, I hate you!
Yeah, no, so, like, it's like all.
But where's
the
money gonna go when he dies?
Into the X. Like, he sold $200 million worth of stock to start the XFL again, because he thinks that's a good idea. Everything besides wrestling Vince McMahon has ever done has failed horribly. He had a bodybuilding group that failed horribly. There's a reason he and Donald are friends.
Sure.
They're both bad.
All right. Is that our podcast for the week?
Are we done talking about wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay. So, no, because we need to talk about this game as far as the Not Real Game Awards.
Oh, yeah.
So, as far as the Not Real Game Awards go, how many Todd Howards out of five?
Zero Todd Howards.
Zero Todd Howards?
Doesn't deserve Todd Howards.
Like, Todd Howard is an award of, like, bloat and ambition, but without soul.
Okay.
It's sound and fury signifying nothing. It's yeah. Todd Howard. All
right. How many Brandon Chung's out of five? One.
I think, yeah, like, Brandon, so, what does the Brandon Chung Award mean to you two?
It means Brandon Chung.
Cool, thanks, man.
It means square heads and cool games.
Yeah. like, bespoke personality, is that a fair...
Yeah.
Well, because I don't want to, that's the whole point of saying these names is that we don't, it's like an aesthetic, right?
Okay, fine. I'll give it like one Brandon
yeah.
Chung.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. One. How many Nina Freemans?
None. There are none.
This is about the most non.
Nothing gave me a feeling.
I'm sure I've said this about a game before, but I think this is the most.
You have said that exact
Nina
same
Freeman.
Thing about.
What did I say it about?
Oh, jeez. You put me on the spot.
Was it?
I think it might have been Dungeon of the Endless.
No. No, I would have given that like two Ninas.
Deadbolt.
Yeah, maybe Deadbolt.
Deadbolt's really not Nina Freeman.
Or maybe not Gunpoint. Heat Signature.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
Simon, how many Simon Wicklands?
Ooh, a bunch.
A bunch?
Yeah.
At least three?
I'd say three.
Out of five.
This is a broad interpretation of the Simon Vicklund Award.
Yeah,
Because you usually...
No, I'll give it three.
Like, without going into the meat of it, like, the Simon Vicklund Award is usually about the music.
And in this it's time, not in this case.
Yeah, it's not in this case.
Yeah. I think that the music in this game...
God damn it.
See, that's exactly it. That's exactly that's how many it. Simon Vicklunds yep. it has.
That's it.
Tango down.
The voice
it's the
actors,
surfer tilt
the
on it.
The voice actors are so into what they're saying, and I love it.
Holy shit.
It's so Point Break. It hurts.
Oh, fuck. What was the name of that guy from the NoClip documentary with Doom? The guy who worked at id? The guy who's talking about the demonic invasion
yeah,
menu?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
I know who you mean.
He needs to be part of the awards.
Oh, he does.
Because, like, that guy is, like... The way he can barely keep it together is
how many,
saying this
how many
shit.
That guys out of five does Thornkickers get?
Ooh.
I think it's four.
Four.
I think it's four.
Yeah. It's right. Not quite silly enough, but like...
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
J. Sawyers? How many J. Sawyers?
Oh, zero.
Zero J. Sawyers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like a bespoke... Whatever. If we're not explaining this...
It's an aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, this is Instagram, okay? Yeah. This is Instagram right now. Jeff, how many Jeff Bezos is...
None. Absolutely none.
How many Jeff Bezos is?
I don't know. Jeff Bezos is a fascist.
I want to see. That's what I'm saying.
I'll give it one.
I want to give it two. I want to give it two Jeff Bezos out of five.
I don't know. This game's indie as fuck. Is why I have a hard time with that.
Okay, no, you're right. One.
Like,
one.
I'm giving it two.
You giving it two?
Two. Okay.
Two. Jeff Bezos. I feel two.
Two still below half.
I feel two.
Cool.
All right.
It's something Martin. It's Martin.
Well, look it up.
Get you over your phone.
Oh, jeez.
Still in my butt.
Okay, well, that's good.
Hugo Martin. That's his name.
Yeah. Okay, so
just
four Hugo Martins out of five.
I'm going to give it like a high three.
Okay.
A
high three.
Yeah, well, because it's not like...
What are we, Anthony Fantano?
It doesn't...
Yeah.
Door Kickers doesn't feel very self-aware of how silly it is.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's not doing it to push past it.
Door Kickers thinks it's very cool that when you boot up the game, it says, Tango Down, or fucking whatever.
Yeah. Kill House Games really knows what they're about.
Yeah.
That's Jesus, who makes
that's
it.
Their fucking
that's
name.
That's their fucking name!
That takes an entire Todd Martin, or whatever was it?
What?
Hugo Martin.
Hugo Martin.
That takes an entire Hugo Martin for me.
I gotta double check that's his name before we say it like 700 times.
Okay.
And like burn the wrong name into our memory.
So that's the
Not Real Game Awards criteria, but this game deserves a special award. Keenan, do you want to tell us while Owen looks up this dude's name?
Is the Tom Clancy's Tactical.
No, it's the Tom Clancy presents Tom Clancy's Tactical Jungle Ninja Award.
Reach and clear.
Yeah, it's Hugo Martin. Okay. That guy's got a good-ass smile. If that guy smiled at me, I would become happy.
That took a weird turn, and I love
it. No, that wasn't weird. That was great.
Look at that.
Yeah, he's pretty
genuine.
Doesn't
he fill you with warmth?
He's a cinnamon bun.
Hugo, I know you're listening to this.
Yeah,
we should. Ooh, we should tweet at him.
Yo.
Anyway,
Hugo, we talked about your
love affair of Hugo Martin.
We talked about your smile on our podcast.
Yeah.
All right, Owen. With that, where can they find us?
We're not playing a game next week, right?
That's not happening.
I mean, that's after.
Oh, is it okay? Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Maybe not.
Whatever. Well, if you want to contact us and send us corrections codes and dick pics or whatever,
don't do that.
You can email us at badplaystyle@gmail.com. If you want to talk to the other...
Let me just be really clear. Don't do that.
Don't worry. I'm the one that holds the keys on the Gmail account anyway. You don't have to see them.
I'll log in if I want.
Yeah, don't send us dick pics.
I really don't want them to do that.
If you want to talk to other listeners of Bad Playstyle, too bad. Please don't use our subreddit.
is it still up? Did you share it?
I think it's still up. I might set it to private. That way someone doesn't like... Because if I delete it, someone could go make a Bad Playstyle subreddit mm-hmm. that we wouldn't have control of.
Okay.
So I might just lock ours down.
You should just leave it open, see what happens.
Yeah, see if...
I think we leave it open.
See if bots find it and fill it with ads.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Leave it open.
Let's do it.
It's an experiment at this point.
All right. And then...
It's like a little biosphere.
I don't believe we have any unrealized dreams. Owen,
did you
remember...
Twitter?
Did you remember your unrealized dream? He didn't talk about Twitter.
You can tweet... at us at Bad Play Style.
Yeah, that's a fun way. Like, if you have like a correction or a code that you just want to like shout in a public room.
Just
yeah.
If you want to, if you want to, if you want to twit blast it at us, you can.
Message it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and did you remember the unrealized dream spark from the back of your brain space?
I want a gray and purple set of Joy-Cons for my Switch.
How much would you, what would be, like, the maximum price point for that?
I pay, like, new Joy-Cons, I think, are, like, 80.
Okay. Yeah, they're pretty expensive. Set.
Okay. So what would you pay, like, double that?
No, because I can. There's someone on Etsy who has made, like, handmade SNES
color schemes. Their own shells
color
and
scheme.
Put them on.
How much are they? Thing.
They're like $200.
Are you doing it?
No.
Okay.
No. And they made a Joy-Con grip to go with it that matches and even has the old SNES logo on
it.
So
what's the price point at which this becomes something you need to get?
If it was like $140, I might buy it when I have Christmas money, like that kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
You know, like...
Or like tax returns.
Yeah, yeah. Like if I'm buying myself a treat. Like, and even then, I would be embarrassed to tell people how much I spent on it, you know?
But yeah, they don't need to know.
Yeah,
like... They don't need to know. All right, so I feel like we should talk about what we're playing next week before the next part. So
yeah.
What are we playing next week? I kind of already dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good. So I have obtained compromat on these two men, and they have agreed to play a game that, like, violates our very... vaguely defined mission scope
yeah,
of this podcast.
It violates the Bad Neva conventions.
Yeah. of which no countries are signatories.
we got Sealand.
Yeah.
Like last week.
Oh, yeah.
And the People's Republic of Kanan is all about it.
So we're going to play Dwarf Fortress. We're going to play Bay 12 Games' Dwarf Fortress. Dwarf Fortress, if you don't know what it is the most beautiful labor of love in the world of video games.
It is.
It is.
It's also the strangest one.
It is the strangest. It's the most obtuse and hard to approach. It, if you've been living under a rock and you don't know what it is a city management game, which on its face...
Oh boy, that's...
I mean, if you can think of a more accurate genre for it...
The closest thing, but it's not deep enough.
So... It generates and simulates a world on a geologic and historic scale. It populates it with fantasy creatures and races, and you control an expedition of seven dwarves to build and dig a fortress. And it has a ludicrously visually offensive graphics to most people.
It is all ASCII.
It's not ASCII, it's Unicode.
Oh, okay, my bad.
ASCII's limited to like 16 characters, I think.
26.
Or whatever, yeah. You know what the fuck I mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, like everything on screen's made. It is a 3D world in the sense that it uses like cross sections.
You're
stacked
always
on
looking
one another.
At a single two dimensional slice of this world.
Yeah, and you can go up and down through it, but it is completely represented with letters and symbols in different colors. So you have to learn.
Oh,
that.
It has the best soundtrack.
Oh, it does. It's made by two people. It's made by Tarn and Zach Adams, who are Washington locals.
Yeah.
They're some cool dudes.
Yeah.
I heard Dwarf Fortress once compared to as a... it is the modern equivalent of a monk working on an illuminated scroll in a cave
all
for
right.
his entire life.
All
it's
right,
that.
All right. So we're done talking about Dwarf Fortress until season 3.
Yeah.
This has been season 2. But because it's season 2, and we haven't done the punishment for season 1 yet, which was a late at the feet of Kenan... we've put together a plan. We know what we're doing. That'll be out soon. But we need to update you guys on the Chicken Hat. In case you haven't been paying attention, in case you haven't...
like we weren't.
Yeah, in case you haven't been paying attention just like us.
So the thing is, I know for a fact that I think like 2 people actually listen to the podcast like every single episode. So probably like Ryan knows where we're at. And then the other person who I don't know who they are knows... But,
well, we get about 8 downloads.
Right, I think those are like automatic downloads to devices rather than people actually listening. I know for a fact that Ryan actually listens.
Okay.
Right? So, that being the case, we've calculated it out. We're at 3 Chicken Hat points for Kenan. I'm at 2 as of this episode, and Owen is at 3, which means I hold all the cards.
We're at Matt's mercy for season two.
We set up this system so that there is one loser. But what has happened this season is there is a winner. So I gotta do something horrible and versus or co-op to these two gentlemen. I didn't even find out till tonight that I was doing this.
We were talking before the fucking recording of this.
We figured it all out.
You know, every time we record, we don't know, and we say it on the recording that we don't know the score.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the very last recording of the season, when we actually tally it up, we, the fucking hosts of this show, are surprised to discover that it's a tie.
Just in case that math doesn't make any sense to you, I believe there was a couple of episodes where we didn't give out chicken hat points.
Yeah, there are 10 episodes, but there are only 8 points.
And then Keenan earned an extra one
for getting
banned from League of Legends.
Keenan, I believe in you. I believe you can get banned next season, too.
So anyway,
maybe I can get banned from World of Warships.
Anyway.
The reason I like that game, by the way, is that it is calming enough.
So, anyway, Ryan, you got that one to look forward to, because I'm pretty sure you're the only person who's going to actually watch it. But anyway...
Hey, if you're not Ryan, contact us so that we know
We need to know.
If anyone is listening.
Besides Corey and Trevor.
Corey and Trevor at this point is Ryan. So,
oh, no.
He did the dance.
Tell us, if you email us... I will give you a Steam key off our Steam key spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah.
And you can add it to your account and find out what it is.
Brian has a huge incentive to call us. Just doesn't already have access to that sheet. Anyway, this has been Bad Play Style Season 2. I've been having a great time. I hope you are, too. Have a wonderful night. Guys, you want to say anything?
Bye. I like to party.
Shut up, condom pants.
Music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.